This is the Game Sports Podcast. I am the host, David McCaig Jr. The game is powered by 91 Network. In this episode, I will be joined by Justin Heichel in a one-segment commercial-free episode, and we'll be discussing all things around the NHL leading up to the NHL season, and we'll also be discussing in our In the Pocket segment, Week 2 reaction with the NFL and Week 3 preview. Let's go. Yeah, and welcome to the Game Sports Podcast. It is your host, David McCaig Jr. Without further ado, I'm going to bring in the co-host joining yours truly this evening, the one, the only, Justin Heichel. Justin, my friend, how's it going?
I almost came in hot with the what's going on, fellas, but it's just you, Dave. So what's up, Dave? Good to be here. Good to see you this week. The early edition, the new early edition of the show this week.
Yes, different kind of modification in our schedule change for our pre-recording. Before I get to that in a second, there is fellas. Bo Bichette's hanging out up there. And that's a good segue because Bo Bichette made his return today for the Toronto Blue Jays after a lengthy absence and injury. So we can say fellas. Bo Bichette's listening in over there. But truly right now as we record, he's playing baseball. But
the Jays should probably make a return to the win column then. And you know.
You know what? They won twice.
Build some goodwill with all these season ticket ads they're cramming down my throat on them.
I am so feel that all these, everyone that's still going to the game is because of the Shohei Ohtani effect. Everyone thought that when they were going to get Shohei, people were just buying tickets like they were going out of style. Maybe I know we're, as a Toronto fan base for baseball, very dedicated, very good. You're always going to get fans, but you know, I feel like there's a little bit of extra sales at the time. But you know what? The team is exciting to watch. And we won't get into baseball too much, as you would have heard at the beginning of the opener, but it's good. We segue a little baseball love into this sporadic chat this evening.
It's a nice barn. It's a good place to go for a drink now.
It is. It is. And especially on Looney night for hot dogs, if you want to get Looney dog night when they have that, that's probably a good night to go. But who wants, like, if you're living in Sault Ste. Marie, it's hard to go to Toronto on a Tuesday, watch the Blue
Jays. Yeah. And they're not doing that on a Friday.
No. Just like recordings on podcasts, a lot of it don't happen Friday. Well, if you do a podcast and you record on Friday, let us know. Prove me wrong. Nonetheless, here tonight, as I mentioned in the opener, obviously we're going to be discussing two sports in its entirety throughout this segment, and it's going to be commercial-free and all one segment. But as Justin stated, we're recording a little bit earlier. So as everyone that knows the show would know, if you're new to the show, obviously like most podcasts, we are pre-recording and we usually record on Wednesdays, but we're doing it on Tuesdays just to ensure that we get the clips and get the episode promptly up for you by Thursday morning before Thursday night football. Because obviously this show is really heavily about In the Pocket, but as the year goes on, there's going to be some adjustments when it comes to our show layouts, as shows have that happen often. Obviously, the big meat and potatoes of sports news is football, but there has been some hockey news. Okay, so we're going to dive into both those. But Justin, before I do that, on a more serious and sad note, to begin the show, and normally we don't like going the show this way, but I wanted to just express there was a sad passing away of a friend of mine, a mutual friend of people on the show, such as Nathan Inch. Andy Swanson has passed away. He was in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Andy, obviously, big fan of the show. Played baseball with him. He passed away. Just yesterday was when everything was more released to the public. I'm obviously not really able to give any further details on the matter, but we heard about this yesterday, and I want to say condolences out to, of course, Randy's family, and of course, you know, including myself, but friends of Randy and people that have known him. So we wanted to express those condolences and rest easy, Swanee. Certainly somebody who lit up the room, and he always loved this podcast. He used to always sometimes when I see him, I always say, hey, I've listened to some episodes. You guys are doing great. So he's a fan of the show. And obviously I played baseball with him and hockey with him and lots. And he was just a great individual to be around. So when I learned about that yesterday, it was very sad to hear. And of course, a lot of people are affected by it. So I don't like starting the show on that note, but I want to make sure I express that right away to the platform. Obviously, a lot of our mutual friends listen, but of course, he was a fan of the show and just overall good person. So I want to make sure I give that shout out to Randy, and very sorry to his family for the loss. And, you know, it's certainly sad. Like I said, not a great way to start the podcast, but wanted to mention that at the opener. And I'm sorry, Justin, to go in that direction. I just want to make sure I give a little bit of a shout out to someone who was a great person and just a fan of the show overall.
Caught me off guard with that one. That was not the name I was expecting to hear.
No. And I forgot to mention to Justin off air. Obviously, I had it noted here, and I wanted to make sure I didn't forget to mention. So the show here tonight, as I mentioned in the opener, hockey and football will be the show content that we get into. So we're going to go into hockey first. And as you would have noticed, usually for In the Pocket, we have EJ, me, EJ, and Justin, but EJ is off this evening. So I'm going to take the time to, instead of doing a segment by myself for 10 minutes about hockey, and started on the show with when we had In the Pocket and hockey on the same segment, okay? So it's not like it's a different layout by any means, this episode in particular, but I want to talk some hockey with Justin, because the last time Justin and I have actually talked hockey has been quite some time. There obviously are hockey guys that really jump on a lot, and recently are Alex and Dane, but I must stress, Justin is the original when it comes to hockey and football. Okay, so it's good to have Justin talk a little bit of hockey, and he's got the Leaf hat on here, and obviously we are both Toronto fans, but we talk about all teams in its entirety. So we're going to go around on a couple of pieces of note, Justin, that I'm going to let you just take what you want from that. Sidney Crosby, 2 years, $8.7 million contract extension with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Lucas Raymond, long 8-year contract extension with the Detroit Red Wings, one of the young stars in the league.
Gonna butt in on the Crosby thing just for a second.
Go ahead.
See that, Mitch? See that?
Say the full discount name so we all know. Who's Mitch?
No, everybody knows. Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
And why did Crosby do that? Why did Crosby do that? What was his interview? What did he say?
I honestly have no idea, because if I'm thinking like an entitled little prick and his weird dad, then I deserve $300 million for not accomplishing anything but crying in the playoffs. Yep. Unlike, and you know what? Like, I've given over the years, it's well documented on this show, I've crapped all over Sidney Crosby because I didn't like the Penguins. And
they won
too much. I mean, he's got a resume.
Sure does.
That's worth, based on the market we've seen now, that's worth a lot more than, you know, $8.75 million a season, even with his age, you know.
That's a steal.
Like, so, and honestly, now, like, in all seriousness, redirecting my hate from Mitch Marner and taking this to a serious conversation, if the Leafs were, you know, considering offering John Tavares an extension to keep him around, if Crosby with his resume is getting that, then is it unreasonable to think that Johnny T at a hometown is like a $5 million kind of guy?
Less. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Does he look? Crosby said he wants to win. He wanted to win. And he always has. Winning is more important.
Like, that has to be the thing now, okay? Like, I get it. Everyone sees that, okay, well, players in other leagues are making all... Then go play fucking baseball. You know what I mean? You want to make $700 million a year? Don't grow up in Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia, and be good at hockey. Go over to the States and play baseball. All right? Yeah. You still did okay. You're still there. And I mean, like, sorry for the Nova Scotia. Like, that's just the first city I thought of with Crosby.
Because we're talking Crosby.
Yeah. But, like, you know, like, there's other leagues that have this same kind of issue and other sports that have this same. Everyone wants to be the top dog. Everyone wants to make $1 billion. Why wouldn't you? You want to make $1 billion at work. I want to make $1 billion at work. It's not going to happen for us. Maybe in the near future. Maybe one day. Who knows? Like, you have to kind of live within your means. Okay? Your salary cap is $80 million. That's great that you want 15. Can you win like that?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Not yet. Not that it's been proven that you can, but we know how you can win. Nathan McKinnon takes a hometown discount. Sidney Crosby takes a hometown. And these teams, I mean, like, the Colorado Avalanche, I would say, as a team right now, are leaps and bounds ahead of the Pittsburgh Penguins. But Crosby leaving that money on the table allows the Penguins to grow, to pay these young players that are coming up, that are getting good. the Colorado situation with Nathan McKinnon taking that discount allows Colorado to add some talent at the deadline or add a free, you know, like someone, free a name at the end of the year. Like
you said,
but like having leaving that cap flexibility to your team, no one wants to hear, well, that's almost more valuable than paying them. But it is. Like, you don't think that the goodwill you're going to buy in community, and I mean, not every city is like Toronto or Montreal or New York, where Gary's Pizza is going to pay you $10,000 to come out and do a commercial. But like, there's money to be made. I mean, we chewed up a little bit of time with this, but I think it's Crosby doing that is kind of showing the rest of the league, like, this is kind of how you have to act. Like, if you want to be a top dog in the league, you also,
you got to recognize
sacrifices.
I had somebody tell me, and they said, well, Crosby's already won, so that's easy for him to say. No, no. He has taken this pay cut since he took an extension. And if you look back, $8.7 million when he did sign it in the tens before, and when all that was signed. Yes, it seemed a lot then. But Sidney Crosby is the best hockey player in his generation. Is he the best player in the league right now? No. Connor McDavid is. But what was Crosby when he was McDavid's age? The same effect. Is McDavid better than Crosby? I don't want to create an uproar. They're two different players. I like McDavid's style a bit more in terms of how he's a bit bigger and faster, but the smarts and IQ of Crosby, I know McDavid has that. Don't get me wrong, but I still think Crosby has some edges that time, and you can argue still. But McDavid, Crosby, the Mario Lemieux, the Wayne Gretzky's, these guys are called generational talents. They're franchise altering. Okay, and Crosby at that time when he was making 8.7, do you remember what Alex Ovechkin took at that time? $10 million. And it took a while for the Caps to win. They eventually won, okay, but it took a lot of time and a lot of eat salary here, percentage here, some magical formula. And they're on the like that Charlie Day meme that, okay, is what they figured out in Washington. They finally beat the Las Vegas Golden Knights in their first year in the league in the Cup Finals. All right, but I'm talking Crosby. Crosby took a pay cut at that time. Malkin took more than Crosby did at that time, if you remember. Okay, and Malkin is not better than Crosby. He was not ever better than Crosby. Was he good? Damn right. He won. He got awards because of that, but he was not Crosby. Crosby wanted to win, and he knew what it took, and it wasn't just because, you know, just being Crosby and having players attracted to playing with you. It was signing the right contract to not cripple your team in terms of salary cap. And he never did. Malkin, a little bit, but number one center, number two center, great. Then you have a Jordan Staal coming up, right? Then you had Matt Cook and Tyler Kennedy on that third line. Best third line that I could think of in a long time. Sioux native, Tyler Kennedy.
You don't forget about Biz. He helped out.
You got Chris Kunitz. Chris Kunitz is the Zach Hyman of today. Okay, there's a guy who left the Anaheim Ducks and he wasn't doing as good, but Crosby says, puts a little fairy dust on Chris Kunitz and he turns into a 30-plus goal scorer and plays with them in the Olympics. So Crosby has the effect of being a domino effect on his team. He's a winner attitude. And yes, he has won before. He has. And at the end of the day, cool, but he has always had this mentality and he doesn't want to stop winning. And is Pittsburgh going to win the next 2 years? I hate to break it to you, Pittsburgh fans. You're not. I know how good Crosby is. I know what you got. I don't think he's going to win in Pittsburgh in the next couple years. And it's convenient that in 2 years we got the Olympics. I think that's his last year before he says, see you later to the NHL and to hockey. But again, who knows? Also a cap-friendly contract. Maybe next year Crosby isn't doing as good. Pittsburgh isn't doing as good. And they're like, hey, Sid, you did this for us. You have a very movable contract. Let us do you a favor. Go play with your buddy Nathan McKinnon or go play with Montreal because they're going to get good eventually.
I honestly don't think he would.
I'm not saying that would happen, but this Crosby wants to win. I'm getting off track. Crosby wants to win, and he is somebody who is loyal and ultimately wants to win. He had three contracts since his expiry contract in 08. He had a 5-year, 8.7.
That was probably a max at the time too, I think.
Then he had a 12-year, 8.7. Then he had a 2-year, 8.7. The percentage of those cap hits.
You see what he's 15%, doing there?
Yeah, just thought of that. 15.3%. 13.5% and a 9.9% contract. That is the percentage as it went up. And he's actually the 42nd highest salary in the NHL outside of perhaps Tom, like when it like modern sports, best bargain in modern sports history was the example that someone named Josh Rowntree used. X and greatest hockey player in his generation. Okay. And ultimately he's somebody who has said, I want to win. That is what's important to me. Take note to players who think that, you know what, despite who you are, you think you're going to win because you want to be the highest paid guy, you're not going to win then. You may, or you maybe if you do, good. But you know what? When you really have a top-heavy team, and this is not hints, this isn't hints, but I know Justin used a hint. There's other teams that have guys that are making big bucks on that latter half of their big deal. You're not going to win. That's Crosby's contract. 8.7 years.
Honestly, if we never... If Sid the Kid didn't happen, I don't think the NHL salary cap is where it is today.
There's a lot of
Pittsburgh's probably not a team if Crosby didn't happen there.
Nope. If that they didn't win that draft lottery and he goes to Anaheim, we're talking a whole different story here.
The league was in a rough spot and he put the league on his back. And it was just the Pittsburgh Penguins cutting a check for him, and he was a face for the entire friggin' NHL for a long time.
And you don't think that he was offered
good guy, more Sidney money? Crosby.
You don't think he was offered more money? I guarantee you it was more of a maybe. I don't. We're not going to get into that conversation, but there's a guy who wins.
There's I bet you wins. His Tim Hortons contract pays him more than his NHL contract.
100% it does. Him and McKinnon both. Maybe not McKinnon.
Well, McKinnon gets paid in Timbits. He brings him to the locker room and he judges the guys for eating unhealthy.
Well, I'll use this quote. This might be the title. Actually, I shouldn't because it was used in different places, so I might have to change it up a little bit, but I like it. Most unselfish athlete to play any sport. Leave that to marinate. Think about if there is somebody else. If you think there is somebody else, comment below. But Crosby taking a discount to try to at least win, but not to cripple financially the Pittsburgh Penguins in the future. Like I've mentioned, Lucas Raymond, long-term contract. More sour news.
Snyder hasn't signed yet, in Detroit?
Snyder has not signed. I don't know how teams didn't throw that an offer sheet. That guy is worth the offer sheet. They would match, but I'm sorry. I'm an offer sheet guy. I call me Brian Burke. I don't know.
Like it. People don't use it enough. Like you could stir the pot so bad, and everyone's just like, it seems like it's such a cordial group of managers that don't want to screw each other over.
Yeah, because they need to talk about, look, it's a business. It's not personal. And when it comes to Moritz Seider,
I mean, it's kind of personal.
How many teams are looking for a right shot defenseman that is 6'3", over 200 pounds? Okay, and young, and one of the best up, he won the Calder, one of the best up-and-coming players in the National Hockey League. This guy, he's worth throwing that 8.5 to. He's worth throwing that offer sheet to 9. Then Detroit's going to obviously match it. But then things are going to get a little bit tough in Detroit. Okay, you got...
That's a lot of money for him. He's good.
I'm a fan.
It just seems like...
42 points last year. He's had 50 points, 42 points, and 42 points. On a team that was rebuilding, he had 50 and 42. And a team that took a turn last year.
These young guys are just getting a ton of cash. Like... You know, like it just seems like you used to have your rookie contract and then a team could railroad you for a few years, make you miserable. You know, like they just kind of owned you. Now these guys are like, yeah, whatever. It's like college football. They're just like, yeah, you need a Bugatti. Here you go.
There you go. Take it. It's on the house.
Be our fullback. No big deal.
On the house. And on a little bit more sour note, Dakota Joshua was diagnosed with testicular cancer, Vancouver Canucks, but it seems like everything is trending in the positive direction for that. He does hope to play this season. Former Toronto Maple Leaf, actually, which people didn't know of before when I mentioned it to them. He played in the system of Toronto and very rugged type and hard-nosed forward for the Vancouver Canucks.
I really wish we signed him in the summer.
Very good player. Yes, Lindell with the Dallas Stars inked a 5-year extension, just $26.25 million. And then obviously the Four Nations Challenge getting discussed. You got the 2025 World Junior Championship schedule was just released. There's talks about the Olympics already. A lot of good when it comes to hockey. Justin, before I move and we transition to football, because we're about 5 minutes over for hockey, Austin Matthews was named captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I talked about this in a previous episode a few weeks back, but I didn't get your reaction on Austin Matthews being the new captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And since you have a Toronto Maple Leaf hat on, I thought maybe you'd give us a little bit of how you feel, how's your reaction to Papi taking over the reins as captain in Toronto.
I think it's the right move. I think it's an uncomfortable move to happen, but I mean, JT's also seems like one of those guys where he's like, he's professional about it.
Yep.
You know, like it's work. Hockey is work. And if this helps everything move forward, and I mean, honestly, you could see it in interviews and everything last year that Austin was the face of the locker room.
Yep.
When something, you know, when there were questions being asked, like people like Tavares got interviewed, but what at length interviews did you see with John Tavares? I mean, he's also not like a super great interview.
There's opportunity for interviews.
He's all business. But like Matthews is just kind of, he put the team on his shoulders. You kind of.
At 69 goals. Nice.
You saw it for the last 2 years. I mean, 69 goals, what, 66 the year before, was it?
I'll get the confirmation.
Or 67. Either or. But like he beat the.
Last year he had 69 points. The year before that he had 40, but then he had 60 the year before that. So
that's how that went. Okay.
Back to back years. Or in two of the last 3 years, 60 goals or more. So if he trends like he has been, then he's only going to get 41 goals in less games this year. So let's hope if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan that that doesn't happen. But obviously Matthew's taken over. I've given my opinion. You can listen to that previous edition of the game for me to talk about that. But I agree with Justin. It's a certain move that is create a little bit of discomfort in the mind, but at the end of the day, for in terms of Matthews or the locker room, but I think it's the way Tavares.
If the locker room's good with it, then we're good. We have, like, you know what I mean? We're not there. We just have to watch them and yell.
Yep.
So if the locker room's good with it, it helps the fellas. The fellas are still jiving, then
and positive
let them roll.
The process is what will be the storyline with Mitch Marner this year, and when it comes out, people are talking about McDavid's contract. Like,
honestly, hold the brakes, McDavid. In my heart of hearts, which is kind of a weird thing to say when referencing sports, but that's where I'm at. I think that Marner's going to railroad the Leafs and walk to free agency.
Love that hot take?
I do. I haven't seen an ounce of, hey, I'm a Toronto guy. I'm only a Toronto guy when it comes to business.
You know what's going to – he's going to get 12.5 on a team like Philly, on a team like Utah.
He's the NHL's Dak Prescott.
Speaking of Dak Prescott, we'll transition from hockey to football now. And as we transition to football, this is now going to be the In the Pocket segment. The In the Pocket segment is sponsored, easy for me to say, by SportsCenter Bar and Grill, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario's best sports bar. Over a handful of years in a row, best wings. And look, you heard the spiel for the last 8 years.
Several years
from the game. So if you're in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, check that out. If you're not from Sault Ste. Marie, thank you for tuning in. But if you're ever in Sault Ste. Marie, send us a message. We'll give you the directions to Sports Center if you want to go enjoy a nice sports-like atmosphere, have a good frank beverage of choice, whatever floats your boat, and just have some delicious wings and pizza there. Sports Center Bar and Grill. We appreciate Frank and the crew there at Sports Center for always being sponsors and of this segment, but also supporters of this show. So In the Pocket, Justin, it's just you and I the first time this year, week 3, that it is just you and I operating this segment. Usually we have a third and someone who is very opinionated, EJ Russell. But obviously with EJ not here, and we have eaten up a little bit of the time for football, and we're definitely going to stick within the time as we plan to here on the show. So we're going to dive right into a little bit about last week, but we're not going to get into it as much as we used to. And we're going to dive into this upcoming week. Justin, talk about last week. Is there anything that you want to bring to the table that you think is worthy of the to bring up just as a reaction? Because obviously when we're recording, yesterday was the last game of the week. I think when it came to the Bears, and Williams had some struggles yesterday, but again, tough situation for him. And for all this week, We're going to talk about our pick'em. There's a lot of surprises this week and a lot of games that went in ways that maybe shouldn't have went in that way. And one of those games was, honestly to me, is the, and I'm sorry, I was talking about Williams. Obviously, I was talking about the other night there. So talking about yesterday would have been the Falcons and the Eagles. Sunday night football was the Bears. So the Falcons and Eagles game went in a direction I didn't assume either. It was a very good game, though. And Jason Kelce did a good job. I think he's got a good knack, but obviously for being a commentator.
Did you catch that, Dan? That was friggin' solid.
And his suit was – he never dressed as that pristine, okay? And he dressed pristine, but obviously having the podcast New Heights that he has, obviously he has some experience there. But the Raiders beating the Ravens, like there was a lot last week that we could look at that I thought was a surprise. Justin, I'm going to leave it to you to talk a little bit about last week before we just transition right into this week.
All right. Sorry, choking on beverage there. First off, shout out to Parr for not verbally abusing me after that showing the Colts versus the Packers.
Alex Parr.
Yeah, I appreciate you not abusing my inbox after that. We can reevaluate at some point. But Colts defense, missed training camp, I guess, and the plane ride to Green Bay. That was awful. Absolutely terrible. Along with our receivers' hands. But I got it out of my system. Move along here. The Monday Nighter, I mean, Saquon looked like he was on the Giants with that last play of the game.
Yikes.
That seals the game. Like, after week one, like, Saquon looked like an unstoppable force. And yeah. I have the text message conversation with Tana's brother, and he was telling me he would have bet his parents' car that Atlanta was going to win that game. And I said, you're crazy. Saquon looked lights out. He could have ended up with my truck. Like, that's basically how that conversation could have went, because I was so sold that the Eagles would have won that game. So it's just a weird 2 weeks in the NFL. Like, I honestly, we say this quite a bit, but I think the parity in the league right now, like, we really are at a point where any team can win at any given time except for the Giants or the Panthers. But one of them has to win because they play each other this year.
Yep.
Panthers making a big move, benching Bryce Young and putting in Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle.
Yep. Cincinnati Bengals legend.
God bless Andy Dalton for putting that one on his shoulders. We'll see how that goes.
Interception first play.
Honestly, I feel bad for Bryce Young. Like, me, I don't know if he's that bad because he never really looked that bad in college, or if his
development is just... What did Sam Darnold prove? What did Sam Darnold prove this week? And what have those guys that have not gotten the right fit or chance proven this last couple weeks?
I saw a tweet today that said, if Sam Darnold pulls a full Geno Smith, the New York Jets should be court-martialed until someone takes over the team and they can't draft any more quarterbacks.
No, honestly. Like, and the Jets did pull away with a dub against the Titans this week, and Aaron Rodgers, obviously a couple touchdowns. You know, he's able to.
Will Levis gave him that game, though.
Like, sure had Levi's 501s were on clearance.
No, he didn't. He had his Kirklands on. He didn't even have the.
I think the saddest loss to me was the Lions Buccaneers game. I thought that the Lions, they didn't look like what they should have. That I feel like Baker Mayfield has really found his groove in Tampa. I think he's really found his team. He's found his system. He has good offensive weapons with Evans and Godwin. He's got guys there that are weapons.
They're letting him be Baker, to be honest. It just seems like,
again, another team that screwed up on quarterbacks. Carolina had Baker. Browns had Baker.
But the personnel helps a lot, too. I mean, the Vikings would be a completely different team if Sam Darnold had Adam Thielen instead of Justin Jefferson. You know, it's a totally different. Baker Mayfield's in Tampa and he doesn't have Mike Evans or Chris Godwin.
Yep.
Is it the same? Different. No. Like, it's different. It's, you know, their success is only based on the circumstances they've been placed in. Development and stuff like that does play with it. I mean, we're not washing that. But I think Baker, he got a lot of rope in Tampa. Like, Carolina was like a win now and see you later.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's we still got a lot. Like, it's only week two. So, I mean, we're giving some guys flowers this week, and then by week six, we might be shitting all over them. So
exactly. And like Arizona this week, Marvin Harrison Jr. Lot like his dad, huh?
he was better than his dad. I think his dad's what was it? Single game receiving. I think he had like 122 yards.
Yep.
And Junior blew that out of the doors. I think, what did he have this week? Like 156 or something like that. Like it's
in total yards,
close to 150 or something. Like that's
130 with two touchdowns.
Yeah. Okay. That's,
you wonder how many receiving yards, how many catches that was?
It was like five.
Yeah. Four. Four okay. For 130 yards. That's big gainage. Big gain per catch, man. The kid is good. He's fast. And him and Kyler look good together. It looks like a good young upcoming there for Arizona. If they can stay together, stay healthy, and, you know, have that.
Silly our opinions are. Like last week, I was saying Kyler should go back to baseball. Maybe
and there he comes out last week with 266 and three.
Yeah, like, okay, fuck me. Like, all right.
110. Shellacking over there.
Yeah. What do I know? Nothing. Nothing.
And the other big shellacking of the week, the Saints.
Yeah.
Dallas, man, yo, you got to reevaluate, okay? You guys look like the Toronto Maple Leafs out there on the inconsistent
night. Again, though, I think this
shows you. I misjudged the Saints. I misjudged. I thought they weren't going to be – like, I know this is week two, but that offense has over 90 points in the first 2 weeks. One of them's Carolina. I get it. But the other one's Dallas. That's a convincing W. That's very convincing.
Well, especially with the Cowboys defense. I mean, the Cowboys, as a rule, that defense is no slouch. Micah Parsons, kind of scary. Like, I wouldn't want to play against him. I would like to play with him. I would like to have him on my team. Against him, no thank you. Yeah. New Orleans, week one, they played against the Raiders. Max Crosby, there's another scary, scary guy right there. So, like, maybe Carr's kind of settling in. I mean, there's a new offense this year as well.
Panthers week one. By the way, too. Panthers.
Oh, was it Panthers? Why did I Panthers, think it was Raiders?
Yeah. Panthers week one, where they shellacked 47.
I'm thinking Raiders because Carr used to play for the Raiders. That's
yeah, you're good. You're good. All right. But I was just diving that in. The Raiders on their first week, obviously played the Ravens. They lost to the Chargers the first week, the Raiders. Side note.
All right. But, well, we're going to keep an eye on the Saints. They're like, you know, like, Bill, we should make a ranking every week where we have teams and then just post it every week. Like,
honestly, I like that. A power ranking going into each week. We'll have to do that, or like a little ranking. I like that.
Like, we'll just make a color-coded chart. Like, you have green, you have yellow, you have orange, and you have red. And we'll just put teams in those areas.
I like that. Something to add, like, to the
who's,
set.
Who's good to go? Who's maybe on their way up? I'll get some Bristol board this week. I'll do it up for next week for some arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts. You should get your daughter to do the arts and crafts.
I mean, she probably colors better than me, so.
Alvin Kamara, though, has to be the player of the week for me next to Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, he had his Christmas Day game early this year, so fantasy owners, trade him now to
me.
Specifically.
Love that. Didn't do fantasy this year. Actually stepped away from doing that. But, okay, so obviously last week was interesting, and we have a pick'em update. My 15-1 week did not occur. This week, me, you, and EJ both had some struggles when it came into this week here. But give us an update on the pick'em, and then we will do the pick'em, which will lead us into a little chat before I wrap up the show tonight, Just.
All right. Well, honestly, I could have made better picks last week, personally, if I just didn't make them at all. So let's just get into the rankings here. Keggers Gridiron Picks in first with 22 points. So Dave, getting 7 right last week. The Browns is the Browns in second at 18-14.
What a battle back.
Yeah, I believe EJ also had 7 right last week.
Same.
And then, I'm in third with 17 points and I only had 6 right last week, which is fucking awful and embarrassing. Awful and embarrassing.
Bad week all around. Yeah. Trust me, we usually operate around the 70-60% as the average for the season for all of us. We were one game off each other last year.
I'm disgusted with myself.
Last week was just a bye week, I call it. It's just a skip week that we didn't count. So if you had our picks, we apologize. This week we will be better.
Like, we all got the Miami game wrong. We all got the Dallas game wrong. We all got the Lions game wrong. We all got the Colts game wrong, which serves right. We all got the San Fran game wrong. We all got the Ravens wrong, and we all got the Rams wrong, and then we all got hosed on the Monday Nighter. So at least we were wrong together consistently quite a bit.
Yeah, we share good minds here on this show.
And because EJ is going to listen to this and he's not here to defend it, I would like to point out that I was the only one that picked Cleveland to win, and they won.
I didn't think that was going to happen, to be honest with you. I did not think Cleveland was winning
last. I understand where EJ's head was at after last week. That's where I am currently with my team, so I can respect it. But
the Jags, too. I had hopes for the Jags to be a bit more entertaining. Not a good start out of the gate for the Jags. But I'll do the first round of picks.
Say, lead us off, Dave. Let's see what you got.
All right, so worst Thursday nighter in quite some time. No, I don't mean to say that.
It'll be okay.
Yeah, that's over the Patriots. I got the Browns over the Giants. I got the Packers over the Titans. The Bears over the Colts. Very hard choice for me. Very hard choice for me. Richardson is, I really believe in Richardson, but I kind of feel like Williams is going to be a road warrior this week. I've taken the Bears. I got the Vikings over the Texans. Believe in that Sam Darnold go, man. I'm telling you, I'm feeling it. The Saints over the Eagles, because, not betting against the Saints right now. That team is hot. They're going to stay hot. And I'm taking the Steelers over the Chargers, not because of bias. I just think defense and kicking wins games, obviously, especially if you're the Commanders. They showed that last week. They're getting a lot of field goals, wins you games. Steelers know how to do that. And they can shut down the Chargers offense. Buccaneers over the Broncos. Raiders over the Panthers. You know why? Because it's obvious. Seahawks over the Dolphins. Ravens over the Cowboys. There's no way the Ravens are going 0-3. Okay. The 49ers over the Rams. Lions over the Cardinals. It was a hard decision for me because I'm liking that offense right now from the Cardinals, looking really electric. Over the Falcons for multiple reasons. That offense, and they always find ways to win at the end of the game with help of the offense or the refs, whatever way you want to look at it. Bills, Jaguars, Bills. But I got the Bengals over the Commanders. 32-14 Bengals over the Commanders. 28-24 Bills over the Jags. Most points this week, and yes, might come as a surprise because I said 32. 32 is going to be the most points this week, I guess. The Bengals with the most points and with the least points is, of course, the Carolina Panthers. I think they won't even get a touchdown this week. They might only get 3 points this week. Hike.
Well, a little different picks. Nice. This week. Taking Patriots over the Jets, Browns over the Giants, Packers over the Titans, Colts over Chicago because I'm in that rut again already this year. Minnesota over Houston, Saints over Philly, Pittsburgh over the Chargers, only because it's the Pittsburgh home opener. That was my deciding factor on that game. Tampa over Denver, Vegas over Carolina because Seattle over the Dolphins. I think this is an opportunity for Seattle to maybe get one on the Dolphins and get the wins rolling here.
Yep.
Ravens over the Cowboys, same reason. The Ravens can't go 0-3. I just don't see it happening. Niners over the Rams, which I was a little tossed up on. Now
the favorite is so tipped on the Niners here. I don't think this should be that big. I really don't. Sorry.
I don't think so either. Like the Rams didn't look awful against the Lions, but they didn't look great last week. And the 49ers are missing most of their offense. So it'll be interesting to see. Like, I mean, this is one of those games where Brock Purdy will probably add a little bit to his resume if the 49ers can win.
Yep.
Cardinals over the Lions, because I think the Lions secondary looked pretty abysmal last week. KC over Atlanta. Buffalo over Jacksonville, because James Cook is an animal. And the Bengals over Washington. Note, two Monday nighters next week, everybody. 7:30 and 8:15. Cincinnati over Washington, 28-17, and Buffalo 36, Jacksonville 14 as the tiebreakers. Most points this week, Tampa. Fewest points this week, who guessed it? Carolina.
The Carolina Panthers. I'm going to tell you because now this is what's going to lead into. Before I go to Carolina to wrap up the show, because 5 minutes here. Week two highlights for you this week, Justin. Then I'll share with mine before I say something about the Panthers to wrap up.
Week two highlights.
Like, what would some things to watch out for? What are you looking out for this week? What are you looking at?
I'd like to see, some of these penalties are getting annoying. It's not really a highlight. It's just every year we go through these, we take out or we change fucking plays. Like, now we're doing the kickoff differently because we want to make the game more exciting. But then the refs are calling an illegal man downfield or an illegal formation every fucking play, and we got to sit around for 10 minutes. So
Shows them
we saved 3 minutes on the kickoff by bastardizing the kickoff completely and taking the football out of it. But now we've killed 20 minutes of game time because the center was too far downfield, completely out of the play, and it didn't really matter.
Yeah,
I get it. It should be a penalty. But if it doesn't fucking matter, why call the penalty? Like, face mask, roughing, okay. Sometimes, like, if you're a big guy, you get running, you can't slow down. Sometimes you just step an extra 5 yards. Fucking happens. All right? Like, they're not doing it on purpose, okay? No. Sometimes, ask Anto about this. You get in the heat of battle, you're winning that battle. Sometimes you just want to put that guy on his ass, and it happens 10 yards downfield. You're not supposed to be there. Just happens. Like,
just happens. I want to stop you to tear an ACL. Then you get injured.
Kelsey tore that guy's ACL last night with that chest bump, eh? The guy who's got the Philly Fanatic tattooed on his gut.
The Kelsey's outfit in the game, Jason, was fire yesterday. Just wanted to say.
Apparently he got that from Big Dom.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was his, like, coming back to Philly gift. He got him a big Pasquale tracksuit.
I've never seen that man so dressed up nicely, trying to mock or mimic his brother. But what I'll say, the thing for this week that I'm really watching is Ja'Marr Chase. And why I'm bringing up Chase is very simple. Last week, his antics, man, throwing his helmet, yelling at the ref. And when Joe Burrow came to talk and pull him aside, Joe Burrow, okay, obviously he hasn't won a Super Bowl. Okay, he was injured last year. But the guy is a very elite quarterback, a good leader. He from what I've seen, I don't know Joe Burrow. But ultimately, the disrespect that Chase shows when he's on the field to the ref, it's somebody else, something isn't called, he's disrespecting Burrow and he's trying to get him to calm down. I know it's in the moment. I understand that. But when you continue 10 minutes later, there's still bitch about it at the sidelines and you're throwing helmets after and you're shrugging off coaches, get a grip, dude. Get a grip. Like, yeah, I had high hope on Chase. I think he could be elite. He could be star. He has that potential. He's shown that he can. But this antics, this stuff, look, I don't mind someone getting emotional and getting into the game. And
yeah, but it's because he wants a new contract. That's what it is.
Yeah. And he bought himself an insurance policy. This guy is being an off-field distraction, now being an on-field distraction, which could create poison in that locker room, much like
it's
that.
It's an agent thing there, I think. Honestly, I think these...
Tell him.
I think he's young and misguided. His agent has like a AAA client that he's going to get a big payout on if this guy gets a contract, right?
Yep.
And so you've got a guy with a name, so he can make a little bit of noise. But like once that noise starts to affect the team is, you know, if I'm the GM, I'm like, listen, you want to pull this shit? We'll find somewhere for you to go.
Yep. Trade him. Sell him.
Carolina could use another receiver.
You can get another. Yep. Get Carolina. They would love
like that. It's not going to go down like that. No one's going to trade Ja'Marr Chase.
No.
But like, so, can you not put the fear of God in him a little bit? You know what I mean? Like that's. It's no good to have around the locker room. Like, if Cincinnati has some good things going there, like, just shut your fucking mouth, man.
Dude, Super Bowl team. That's a team that's in Super Bowl a couple years ago.
You're going to get paid. Like, they're not going to not pay you.
They're a pretty loyal team, too, to guys. Like, they have names that they like to keep around. They're
like, I honestly... Team.
If I'm Joe Burrow, I'm in that locker room, closing that door, media out, and fucking laying into them. I'm telling them,
Cincinnati,
up, dude.
It's a cash flow issue. I think they've got to have a couple games, get the, you know what I mean, get the money in the bank account rolling, and they can sign them mid-season. There's a lot of teams like that. Like the NFL is no different than the NHL in certain senses, where there's still small markets. I mean, what owner wants to take money out of his pocket and pay a player when he could just take it out of the team? But if the team's not generating revenue, then you got to take that out of your pocket and hope that you get it back.
Exactly. And so the efforts on the field right now, don't get me wrong, the brilliance is there, but his attitude isn't worth it. And look, I saw as
maybe
a Steelers
like
fan,
hair.
It is quite blonde.
The American Nightmare, Joe Burrow.
Cody Rhodes version. I will say Antonio Brown, and this is my example, the Antonio Brown, when he was on Pittsburgh, when he had interviews and everything with Ben, when things were starting off there and then went into a couple good playoff runs and seasons, it was great. It was match made in heaven, those two. And then Jones comes around from Cincinnati, and I
scrambled his brains.
Literally, and it's sad to say and to see, but his attitude, his persona, everything did change, and I think that is an effect to it. So that's why I'm saying that point. But the antics that Ja'Marr Chase is showing is starting to lead to those Juju Smith-Schuster issues that where he was on TikTok dancing, if I remember correctly, whatever the heck it was there, what he was doing, I forget. But it's these antics that were on the field and kind of ignoring calls and chirping players. Not that Ja'Marr Chase has chirped players, but when he's shrugging Joe Burrow off and trying to cool him down, that's Joe Burrow. That is your guy. That is your quarterback. He throws you that ball. He's the leader on that team. He's the face of that franchise. Know your role, man. Know your role. Know your role.
I almost think, and maybe in a situation like Cincinnati, like they would benefit from a wide receiver coach who can kind of like can you not bring like Ocho Cinco around just to control the personalities? In Indy, we have Reggie Wayne as wide receivers coach, and it just helps. Like, you know what I mean? You have a coach who's an X's and O's guy, but then you have a guy who's in between who can like bring up the players' concerns to the coaches, where like it's just like an intermediary that can. Like, because sometimes when you got a 60-year-old offensive coordinator, he's not hitting with the players the way he should be. You know, like it's no different than other sports. Like,
yeah, when I saw
we don't want to play the trap all game. Play the trap.
Okay. When I just saw him throw his helmet and cause that penalty, I said he's going to get a penalty, and he kept going. It's like enough. I know the refs. I played sports. Hike has played sports. Two different sports.
Like, we're not Bengals fans. Imagine being a Bengals fan seeing that shit. You're sitting there with that guy's jersey on. You're like, fuck.
You shot yourself in the foot. That call, that play is a big change in that game. The Chiefs go down the field and Butker kicks you in the butt. See what I did there? All right. So last topic.
I cut you off like 1,000 times.
You're good. No, you're allowed. Good podcast.
Okay, basically what I want to touch on there, I guess, is we didn't talk about how good that fucking game was.
So good.
That's the issue. Like, we talk about this guy having a hissy fit, and that was probably one of the better games of the week, and no one talked about that. Not one, like, Monday morning show, they weren't talking about how Cincinnati and Kansas City were, like, neck and neck with each other. They were talking about how they got a drama queen.
Literally.
So, like, KC got no attention. Yep. Cincinnati playing a good game with no wide receivers got no attention. Just this dickhead. Like,
exactly.
The best anyways,
games of the week.
Onwards and upwards.
The last topic that I'll do before we wrap up, the Panthers. I want to bring up something about the Panthers. Said last week that I think this is going to be a team that's 0-4. Is that realistic? Would I actually throw money down on that? If it involved money, no, but I truly do have that feeling in my stomach that we're going to see. I can't say they're going to be the worst team in history because that's already happened. I want to throw the prediction because I did say it last week. I'm going to remind everyone in week 3 that I think the Panthers are going to be an 0-4 this year. Okay, I am going to say it, that they are going to be an 0-4, so it's recorded last week and this week. Okay, so I'm going to give this a little mark clip. I gave it a mark clip, so if I ever need to replay it to the world to see if I'm one of the only, but I don't think I am. I think a lot of people are on that train. But the Carolina Panthers this year, I'm going to go through something quick, okay? They got the Raiders this week. No. They got the Bengals the next week. No. They got the Bears the next week, but on the road. So, maybe. No. It's a maybe, but I'm going to say no. Falcons the following week. No. Maybe. But the Commanders got a kicker that can kick a lot of points for field goals. And they can get 20 points alone just on kicking, where the Carolina Panthers can't even score that many points in 2 games. So, no. The Broncos and Panthers, that is the only game where I think the Panthers have a chance against the Broncos. But, again, they're on the road.
Dave, they play the Giants in Germany. Like, that is what I've got as the game.
There's that game. Saints and Panthers before that. Saints are going to another wipe out of that game. Chiefs and Panthers after the game in Germany. Oh, Buccaneers and Panthers. Oh, you know Baker's going to come out and say to Carolina and just show them one. Eagles and Panthers. No. Cowboys and Panthers. No. Cardinals and Panthers. No.
You know what, though? If they beat the Cowboys.
Oh, no.
Nothing would make nothing would make anybody on the planet happier than the Carolina Panthers beating the Dallas Cowboys.
Panthers Buccaneers on the road, no. And then the final game of the season is the Falcons on the road, no. So this year, if you want to asterisk, jokes aside with the Cowboys, love that, that'd be funny. But you can maybe star the Germany game between the Giants. You can maybe look at the Broncos game a couple weeks prior to that. Maybe you're looking at the Commanders game. So there's three games. I know people say the Bears. No, I think the Bears are going to beat them pretty good the way they're playing. But again, the Commanders show that they can get points just by their kicker. So three games this year where there's that, and there's always one trap game. And that one trap game is maybe the Cowboys, right? So is that the trap game or is that trap game the Cardinals game? Okay, the Cardinals that are trying to make a run this year, I don't think it is. So there's three games that either are maybes in people's minds with one trap game. I think there is no three-game maybe and no trap game. I think they're a least favorite in every game, and they're going to lose every game. I don't see it. Even in Germany, look, New York, I don't know. That could be the game that gives me that little feeling in here that says that could be the trap. But I think the Panthers are 0-4 this year. Calling it. They are so bad. They are trash. They are garbage.
I don't think so. It's a lot harder to lose every game than it is to... Like, I just don't think it happens. They're not so extraordinarily bad that they could lose every game. Not with the games that are on that schedule.
Germany game is the game.
I'd be willing to bet, though, that they will set a record for the most punts this year.
Like that? Let me give you this. After the Germany game, I said there's Chiefs, there's the Bucs, there's the Eagles, there's the Cowboys, Cardinals, Buccaneers, and Falcons. Okay? I know you make your joke about the Cowboys. But if they're 0-4 up to the Germany game and they lose in Germany,
they're toast.
Are they 0-4 from there? Do you agree that after November 10th, if they're 0-4 in Germany, that they're 0-4 for the rest of the year, given those opponents that I mentioned?
I think they're toast unless Atlanta is so far out of a playoff game in that last week where they don't play people.
Oh, or if, yeah, if they're in it, even if they've clinched.
Because Tampa's in it for sure out of that division and the Saints are in it. So I think it's going to be a real uphill battle for Atlanta to make the playoffs.
Point. Big win last week or this week.
The Saints, as of right now, like early season predictions, the Saints are winning the division and the Bucks. I could confidently say probably have an NFC wild card way they look right now.
Look good.
So.
Dang. Like Baker is baking. Okay. Well, he's making some brownies in that kitchen right now. Okay. He's
the Tampa Bay defense is always good.
Yep.
Like at bare minimum 7 out of 10 defense you're always gonna have in Tampa. So,
and I'm always an Evans fan. I like Mike Evans. I like their offense. I think
now how Rashad White, what that injury news is like there or what's going on may play into it, especially now that the Chiefs signed Kareem Hunt, who is like the good free agent available.
Chiefs get what they want, right?
But yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. We will we'll see how it shakes out.
I want to know what people think Panthers, if they're going to finish 0-4. I know I'm not the only person to think that. I've already researched that. I know I'm not the only person. But I'd like to see, I think a good point to bring up is if they don't win in by Germany and they lose in Germany, are they finishing 0-4? That is the question that I will ask that's different.
They should stay in Germany.
They should just stay there. And don't forget what the Panthers gave up for Bryce Young. Hindsight's always 20/20. I know I get it, but... Oof.
The Bears offense.
Full offense. Justin, it has been fun. Before we go, why don't we get a laugh at the Carolina Panthers homepage? You are visitor 3 today. Just kidding. That didn't happen. I just wanted to throw that under the bus. Oh, thanks. It is the show that we had multi topics on, which we set up doing break it up in segments, commercial free. We hope everyone enjoyed it. Justin, it felt good talking a little bit of hockey with you. It's been some time since we've done that.
Yeah, it's good to. Good to scratch that itch, because we're about a month, a little under a month.
October 9th is puck drop if you're a Toronto fan, but in the season, it's around that realm. We're hitting 3 weeks. There is 18 days until puck drop. That's not the right math. Don't count me out. Just over 15.
No, I think it's like October 13th or something like that. Like here.
Either way, just over 15 days. That's good. To say just over.
Yeah, we're close.
Is when puck drop
couple,
is.
Couple weeks.
And Keg Emmy will be open. No one knows what that is. It's my bar downstairs. It's called Keg Emmy. If you would know, you know. If you don't know, I'll tell you another time because we don't have the time now.
If you don't know, you're not invited.
Justin, thank you very much, my friend. It's been great. And I have to say this every week. Love that background and that Joker poster right in the background. I always look at it. It's awesome.
Hey, there's some changes coming. So next couple weeks, you're going to see some stuff moving around, some new additions.
By far the best background of the show. Mine's so simple. Justin's has the most aesthetic.
We'll keep it fresh. I'm on a sports show and I'm sitting here in Nerd Paradise. So
that's, I love it. That's great. So Justin, thanks, my friend. Next week we'll be planning to record on Tuesdays for the remainder of this month, just until as we get into a new schedule. Because as everybody may have heard, there's some good things coming with the show in terms of where we're going to be shown. But it will still obviously direct you to all the platforms that we are currently on. So I'll give you more details once that is all official. But a lot of big things coming. And with that will come kind of a reformatting of the show agenda, but not our content in general. And what we do is just continuing to grow and update here on the show as we are 8 years in to the podcast. And obviously it's been the eighth season of In the Pocket, third week of In the Pocket for this season, and some ice talk that Justin had. So thank you again to Justin for taking the time. And also thank you to you, the listeners, for coming on by. Make sure you hit like, follow, and subscribe on all the platforms of the game. That includes 91 Network. That's the YouTube channel that we are on. And that, of course, yes, that I started. Let's be transparent. It started as a group of us that came together, want to have a platform for video content of our podcast to be on. So there's the Game Sports Podcast on there. There's Full Time. There's Bitter Rivals. There's other providers on there that you can check out as well. Okay. Game Sports Podcast powered by 91 Network. I want to say thank you again. Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe on social media such as Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, because we are on TikTok. And you may have gotten here because some of our clips, so we appreciate you listening. And again, I want to say deepest condolences to the family and close friends of Randy Swanson, who's also a friend of mine and a friend of the show. But I want to make sure I recognize him once more. And I want to make sure that you know that next week we will be back for, again, just one episode that we'll be doing for the remainder of the month. So until next week. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'm here to remind you, keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.